Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay, for a new season, a refreshed season of The Bachelorette, correct?
Yeah, we needed that break, but I'm ready to go. I feel like honestly energized, happy to be back. It is 7:40. It's 7:50 a.m. here in California, and these are the first words I'm speaking.
And wherever you are and listening to us, we want to thank you for being back with us in the Bachelor Podcast, listening, you know, a podcast. We're there with you on your walk or, you know, in the lonely moments of your day. Kay and I are here to talk some smack about the Bachelor universe. And, you know, we always say, you know, the Bachelor's like it's like one of the sports leagues. It needs an off season. It needs that break. And it's nice to feel good to watch a new season, don't you think?
Yeah, and to take that, I took a step back from even all of the Bachelor, like all the news and all the stuff that's going on. Obviously, we have to talk about the breakups here in a minute, but
a lot of breakups.
Yeah, just being able to like kind of turn off, and then now I feel like I am ready to get into all of the dirt, drama, everything.
Well, you know, I'm a sports fan, and I do consider the Bachelor universe very much like professional sports. And you know, I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about, like, you know, how the NBA season just kept going and going, and like they kind of look back with you know, the last 2 years, and they were like, because the basketball season just ended, they're like, this is the first off season we're really legitimately going to have. And then I was thinking about I was like, same for The Bachelor. Like, this is the first off season we've had in, you know, in a couple years.
Literally since I think it was the summer 2020 is like when we started Matt James' season, and then never stopped.
And, you know, today what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about the news from the show that's gone on in the off season. We're going to talk about our two Bachelorettes. We're having a, you know, they've changed it up this season, having two women lead the show. And then we're going to get into the first half of contestants, our, you know, just our overall bird's eye view. I write my preview every year, but this is my first time just looking at these people. So we're going to go through each contestant. And if you want to follow along with the show, this is a companion piece. And in the description of this episode, it is the link to the ABC cast list. And you can follow along with us. And it's in the description of the show. But if you go to ABC, we're going based on their cast list in alphabetical order. So we're going to do the first half today. And then next week, we'll do the second half with some awards. So what do you think of the off-season news? What do we think?
Big breakups. We had, you know, Nate and Michelle, and curveball, Katie and John. Nate and Michelle, there were a lot of rumors going on leading up to it.
See, I don't follow the rumor mill. It is interesting to me.
Well, they even shut them down.
Oh, they did. They came out and
they shut them down, and they were like, Michelle said, you know, there people are talking about how they haven't been in a lot of pictures together, etc. Like, Nate's been hanging out with his guys so much, and blah, blah, blah. And Nate was like, I think it's healthy to be hanging out with your guys. And then Michelle was like, oh, well, don't believe everything you see, yada, yada, yada. Cut to them.
It's so interesting. You go, who on earth would give a shit? You know, who is sitting at home? What loser? And again, we are two losers who have a podcast about the losers. Like, I'm saying this with total awareness.
We are the head losers.
Head losers. You know, just because we have an official podcast with some nice artwork, it doesn't mean that we're not nerds for following this show and its universe, you know, every week and doing a podcast about it. But I would say, you know, as head nerds in charge, I would say to the lower nerds, who's counting the pictures that they're posting together versus not posting together? It's like, but then you think about it for a half a second longer and you go, Well, if your fame is gotten by your love life, then you have fans for your love life. You get what you put out there. So it does make sense in a certain context.
Yeah. And then I think at the end of that, people also start to unfollow once the breakups happen because, you know, people were following along with Nate and Michelle because they wanted to see Nate and Michelle. I mean, Michelle's great on her own. Nate's great on his own. But the reason we were following them was to see them together, to see what they did. I need to know what they did with that. What was it? $100,000 that they got at the end of their mortgage. Season for the house? Did they have to give that back too? Had they spent it?
There's a lot of fair questions. And it is kind of like, you know, I guess when you're a Bachelor fan, and I say Bachelor to include Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelorette, Bachelor, you're like a friend of the couple. Like, we have to choose a side or we choose no sides. I guess I don't hang out with that couple anymore, or I don't hang out with Nate anymore, or I don't hang out with Michelle anymore. And it is interesting. Like, as a fan, you kind of go with that. It goes the same way as a friend group does.
I totally agree with that statement, and I haven't really thought of it in that way, but you know, I've never spoken to Michelle. Like, I have no connection to her. So I was like, I guess I'm on Nate's side, not for no other reason than I just don't know Michelle.
Well, I went to Minneapolis last weekend, and she announced the breakup right as I'm like flying into Minneapolis for a show. I sent her a message. I was like, hey, come on out to the show, bring some friends, you know, maybe it'll be get a laugh in, you know, for the breakup. But then just like any breakup, you know, when it's in, if you have two friends that date, we're finding out about this months after it happened. You know, people, you know, the people that were asking, hey, how come you haven't posted together? They weren't wildly off. You know, it's a little insane to count, you know, oh, you're only on boys trips, but you're not wrong. You know, like, everyone can smell when a couple's not doing well on social media.
When there's turmoil.
We know the termies. Yeah, we know the turmoils.
But to be honest, I was not expecting Katie and John.
See, here's where this all relates to me. You know, Michelle and Nate, I didn't expect. They seem like they were, let's do it. We're going to get the house. We're moving to the town. I guess I knew I could expect it based on how Nate was on the show and everyone being like, this guy's never even had a girlfriend before. You know, like, that was to be expected.
Yeah.
But what I think also, this is on the subject of, like, they become famous for relationships, you know? So when Katie and John got together, it was so much on social media. It was so much, you know, like, lovey-dovey that you go, oh, maybe there's got to be an element, and I don't know this, but I'm saying this is my assumption. There's got to be an element of, like, chasing the high again. You know, it's like on TikTok. You know, people trend, you know, people jump on trends. They go, that trend got viewership, so now I'll do it and I'll get viewership. So when you're on The Bachelor and you get an audience because of how you fell in love, you're like, oh, how do I keep an audience? Well, I'll keep them involved with my love life by having the next one. And that's why when I see a couple go so hard so soon on social media, you go, what's going
Something's up.
But I guess it is surprising in a certain sense.
I do think Katie and John's relationship, like, I mean, it started off with the whole Taylor Swift 30-day or like 20 days, something lyrics and stuff. So it had a whole lead up to it where it ends up him being in the number one spot. And we, like, the announcement's been made, and just a month before she was with Blake. So I think, I mean, yeah, it immediately took off into this like social media type viewed relationship.
And we know, you know, we put ourselves out there on social media. When we get a hit on something, it's like getting that drug, you know, like, and you go, oh, I guess I'll do another slide about it. I guess I'll do another story about it. Oh, it's getting views. It's getting shares, you know, like, and, you know, I'm not doubting that they had a nice relationship. What I'm saying is with the Bachelor Nation, these couples, you know, they have announcements about their relationship. Look at Blake and Giannina, you know, Blake Horstman and the woman from.
I don't even think they post each other at this still. I remember they both went to like Italy, and it was just like solo pictures of them in like the same places.
They came to my show in Denver, but you know, you see them in. You know, they have a release. They have a People magazine. Oh, how did you meet? You know, like this becomes the lifeblood of what keeps the Fit Tea sponsorships going. You know, so it is interesting that we get news about the relationships and you go, who cares about this news? And then you're going, oh, yeah, I guess I kind of care about this news.
Well, what I thought was interesting about the Katie and John breakup is that just days later, I mean, maybe a week, they were seen, they were together at the like San Diego Fair with like a group of people and they're in pictures together and they're like,
that's Bachelor Nation. Who knows better than you? That's a K's weekend moment. We got to be in each other's stories.
I know,
we gotta,
it's just so strange.
We got to keep it going. We got to figure out what the next thing is going to be. I understand that.
Well, I'm reading all the comments and everybody's like, I'm so proud of you guys. Like, for being mature adults and being able to stay friends.
Like we have any fucking clue. Yeah, like we have any idea.
I first of all, would not be able to stay friends with an ex. I don't care how kindly we broke up or how mature we were.
You could never stay friends with an ex. Never. It depends. I think it depends.
I mean, I don't think, I never have been able to, but I guess like as long as I was happy... before they were, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, as long as like I'm the one who's moved on, I have another boyfriend or something, and they're you know, still single and like sulking, I feel like then at that point I could be friends.
Then you're fine, as long as they are a mess, a puddle of themselves, and you are a queen. No, that sounds totally fair and reasonable and mature. Now, on the subject of breakups, let's also talk about the people that stay together. Kenny and Mari from Bachelor in Paradise.
They just celebrated a whole year.
Celebrated a one-year anniversary. You know, they're celebrating with PR agents, putting out, hey, it's our one-year. You know, it's funny. Yeah. It's like, I don't care about Kenny and Mari, but at the same time, I'm reading a headline, Kenny and Mari, you know, 1 year in. And you go, yeah, I guess it has been a year.
Yeah. And then Becca proposed to Thomas.
See, I remember this story. Someone sent me during the off season. It is funny because during off season, I'm off of Bachelor. And then every now and again, someone will trickle over a story to me. When I saw Becca propose to Thomas, I go, oh, it was Becca the whole time. This woman, there's something off.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't care, you know, new age, all that stuff. Fine, whatever. But you also, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, Becca, you know, has like weird relationship after weird relationship and then breakup. You know, she's with the, you know, then breakups and then comes on Bachelor in Paradise and you go, she's the first lead to go on the show. Then you hear like Peter Weber, they asked him to go on Bachelor in Paradise and they didn't offer him enough money. And you're like,
oh, is that what it was?
That was what that was insinuated, that it wasn't enough money for him to go on. He needed more. So, you know, you have Becca who like, she was game. And it's like, and then you hear she proposes to Thomas and you go, and again, I don't mean to like ruin everyone's fantasy, but I love looking at The Bachelor this way. When you make money off of the love game, you either got to have a breakup story, you got to have a 1 year relationship story, or your proposal's got to get weird and different with you on a knee proposing to, you know, to the guy, which is fine, but at the same time, it's weird. It's different.
Yeah, it's definitely different. And I mean, yeah, like, love this for her. But in my mind, I'm like, I think the aspect of the woman proposing to the man is great in the fact that, you know, women get proposed to and we have the ring on, which we want the ring and everything. But guys don't wear a ring. And so nobody knows that they're engaged yet. Mm-hmm. Like if they're just like out doing their thing.
Just how we like it. I can wait on the decision.
Right. And so Thomas, now he's got a ring on. So he's the one that's walking around being like, I'm engaged.
Does he? And, he has an engagement ring on?
He's wearing a ring.
The woman proposing is like one of those things that I'm sure there's someone listening right now being like, Jared, come on, it's 2022. And I'm like, yeah, it's one of those things where everyone has to go, good for you. Nice. And then they whisper to their neighbor, what is going on in that household? You know, like, that's...
Yeah. I mean, I can't even get a guy to follow through on a date. So, I mean, I might have to propose.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to start walking around with Cracker Jack rings in your pocket. And you go, on the first date, you go, with this ring, I the second date for dinner. You pay. And you just hand it to them.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10.
So let's talk about the new season coming up. So the new season coming up, it is two bachelorettes. We have Rachel.
Yeah.
How do you, now this is, it is funny that we learn their last names the minute they be, you don't get your last name until you become the bachelorette.
Oh, I was just about to say that.
Yeah. they're like, now you may not be, you know, you're not Rachel R anymore. You get a full last name when you become the bachelorette. Rachel Rakia?
Rekia.
That's got to be it. Rekia. And Gabby Windy.
I mean, honestly, Gabby Windy feels right.
There's never been a name that's fit a person more in the history of names. I have to say, no. I totally agree. Gabby Windy, her whole vibe is Gabby Windy.
Yeah. It's like giving like very much cotton candy, much like... all like so sweet all over the place, like that it fits.
Well, let me do one more news story before we get into the two bachelorettes that we have. First, what do you think of the two bachelorette season? Are you happy with this? Do you agree with who are the co-hosts? It was Tayshia and
Tayshia and Caitlin Bristow.
Caitlin Bristow goes to the news fairy every week and wishes for a new follower because she put out so... Caitlin Bristow, I just don't buy anything she does. She had two different stories in the offseason that just prove this person just knows how to work the headline, you know, creators. Her first one was that she was blindsided, that she wasn't the host of the, you know, that they brought in Jesse Palmer. It's like, in no way were you blindsided. In no way, I would, you know, so she has that story. So she makes herself the underdog. And then she's claiming that this is somehow, this is anti-woman to have, or not fair to women, that there are two bachelorettes. Now, I think that's a story that you create because now you create two sides to a story. The Kardashians are the kings and queens of this. The Kardashians know.
Oh yeah, of sharing spotlight.
Kardashians know that if you have a headline, there better be two sides to the headline because that makes it even bigger. So when they say Kylie is a billionaire, they don't say Kylie's a billionaire. They say she's a self-made billionaire. They know that will piss people off. And they also know that someone will defend her. And the more there's two sides to a story, that the more your story stays in the news. Caitlin Bristow is following the Kardashian model because she always creates an opinion that someone will have to argue about. Again, we're talking about it right now. So she does the, I was blindsided. She knew she wasn't going
to
be the host.
I mean, Jesse Palmer was the host last season. Why would she expect to be brought back and Jesse be kicked to the curb?
Why is she bringing it up now? Exactly. So, and then to her, then she brings up that it's not fair that it's two women. How do you feel about that story? You, obviously, people can hear in the tone of my voice that I think it's bullshit, but.
So, if she had a problem, if she has a problem with the two bachelorettes, then she should have also had a problem with sharing the hosting with Tayshia, which we didn't hear her talk about.
Very good point.
You know, like, okay, so you weren't pissed about having to share this hosting thing with Tayshia. So why would we be pissed about these two women sharing this bachelorette season? Because I don't think they were doing it. I honestly do not think they were doing it to be like, let's, you know, do something to put women down even more.
Yeah, right.
I think they were doing it because they're like, we need to change this shit up because people are bored. We have this whole same, it's like shampoo, wash, repeat. Like, it's all the same shit. They're like, we have to change something up so people can stay interested. So what better way than to be like, let's give them the same set of guys and put two girls in there and then they have to fight over them.
And I totally agree. And, you know, the people that, so someone's response might be, well, why don't you have two men be The Bachelor? Because that show is fine. The Bachelor is a more watchable show than The Bachelorette. Not to down the show that we're about to review and watch all season, but I'm just saying, you know, and this is not subjective. This is objectively. It gets less viewers. And when it's, and also you have, it's less believable. 25-year-old men trying to get married right away. Yeah, speak to all the women dating a 25-year-old man and ask them how many of them are sprinting to get married. It's just a less believable premise.
And also fighting over friends or fighting over girls. Like, you're not going to have two guys being like, wait, I wanted that one. Like, they're going to be like, okay, whatever, I have 10 other ones.
I'll go start right swiping. I'll go straight to the water and start fishing. Yeah, and so it is... Again, that doesn't taste good, you know, the reality of it. But this show, having two of them, and also, it's not like they were like, they did it out of nowhere. These two women were great last season, and they were a team at the end of the last season.
Yeah.
Let's not do things in a vacuum, Caitlin Bristow. She's, you know, you Caitlin Bristow, when you try to create a story where you want to have, you know, for and against, you have to live in a vacuum. There's no vacuum here. Gabby and Rachel were supportive of one another, helped each other. It makes actual sense to make them both the bachelorettes.
I mean, it really does because they, again, like you said, were besties at the end of last season and sort of created this relationship, this alliance. And so putting them together into next season being like, let's girl boss this thing.
Yeah. Let's go, girls. Yeah. Let's.
Like, it fits. And I think it's interesting.
Now, between Rachel and Gabby, what do you think? What are your hopes for them? Or who do you like more? Who have you thought of?
I think, honestly, I have no idea. I'm interested to see how this turns out. I hope that they're able to obviously keep a friendship after this, which I'm sure they will be able to, because at the end of the day, I don't think they're both going to choose the same guy. But I don't know. I think ideally they both find someone, but I kind of feel like Gabby's still going to do her own thing. But I just love the way she thought about this whole breakup with Clayton and how she was able to articulate, like, these are the things I want. This is what I deserve. And I don't think that guys on The Bachelorette are going to be able to give her that.
Articulate is the word. She was so articulate
yes.
at the end of last season. You're totally right. And it's funny that you kind of veered towards Gabby, because I do, you know, if you were going to make anyone The Bachelorette, it was Gabby. And then they had this dual thing and you go, it makes sense. I get it. But Gabby was the one at the end of the season. You're like, oh, this is the story I kind of want to see the continuation of. You know?
Yeah, true.
Based on how she was, you know, again, articulating her, you know, her feelings. And without the knowledge of what was going on behind the scenes, she seemed to like nail it on her own. Like she put the puzzle pieces together, if we remember, at the end of Clayton's right. season. Rachel is hot. You know, I'll speak for myself. Rachel is hot. They're both hot. Don't get me wrong. I mean, all of these, this is a show of beautiful people, but you know, as far as who gets me in my man centers, Rachel is bringing it. So that's exciting.
Rachel's bringing, and I just think like, I really do, honestly, for both of them, I do not think that the guys from these shows, which has been proven a lot, like, are fit to be fiancés, husbands, at least not right now.
And on that note, let's get to the guys.
Which, this is my favorite part. I really love doing this and getting our hearts broken and, like, thinking, like, you know, this one's going to be great. And then... them just embarrassing us. And I have a really great story about one of the guys
we'll get to today?
On the list. Yeah, we are going to get to them today. And I'm so excited about it.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Let's get to the guys. Let's start reviewing them. This is our first look at them. We're going based off of ABC's list. It's in the description of this episode. You can click the link or go to abc.com. Just go to the cast. And we're looking at the same. So just so we're all looking at the same picture, the same bio, everything. Let's start with Alec, 27, wedding photographer from Houston, Texas. Give us our first heterosexual female impression. Yes.
I mean, okay. So looking at the picture, Alec is cute at first. I think he has an earring in. I'm going to zoom in really quick. And we have a lightning bolt earring. So it's not just like a stud. It's a dangly.
How are you seeing this?
I had to zoom in.
Really?
But something. Yeah. On the right side.
The left ear. A lightning bolt dangling earring. I didn't catch that. When men look at other people, it's like just the outline. It's like seeing, you know, Bigfoot in the wild. You only see just a blurry figure. You're zooming in on a lightning bolt earring, and now I'm kind of seeing it. I thought it was just his hairline in the back. That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh. It is definitely like, that was the first thing I saw. And then I love to go, my favorite thing about these bios is not really not the paragraph, but it's the fun facts that I think really tell you a lot about the guy. So nothing makes Alec happier than a fresh haircut.
That's when you know you're not ready for marriage. You know, it's not like nothing makes me happier than my nieces and nephew, seeing my parents, you know, spending quality time with family. No, it's that fresh cut, that fresh fade. Also, yeah. Alec's beard, you know, sometimes people have to accept you're not a beard guy. He looks like, remember those?
Not a beard guy.
No, his beard looks like, you remember those game where you draw the hair onto the head?
With the little magnets. Yes, with the
magnets. That's what his beard looks like. It was drawn on.
Dimples are like going that deep into there with the hair, like, yeah.
Well, that's how you could tell I think Alec is a very skinny man. I bet you this guy, those dimples tell me that he is a little dude.
He's a short king.
Shorter, skinny king. He is definitely saying, yeah, let's split a salad for dinner. All right, let's do Avon. What are your thoughts on Avon?
10.
10.
Immediate 10.
He's got a thick neck. He's got the neck of a man. Is that what
it is? Definitely some sort of sport. Sport has been played. The smile is gorge. Like, Avon is stunning. I will definitely, if no one takes him, I will definitely be sliding into the DMs of Avon at some point.
Avon is gorgeous. He's a 28-year-old sales executive from San Diego, California. Here's a fun fact that isn't fun to me. Avon allows himself to eat out only once a week. Gonna be a no from me, dog.
Oh, that's a deal
once
breaker.
Once a week.
So you have pick Friday, Saturday, or Sunday to
eat
to
out.
Get food?
The rest you're going to be cooking. He's going to be having his grilled chicken. That's how you look that way. That's how you get that thick neck. You're having grilled chicken and veggies 6 nights a week, and on the 7th night, maybe you'll go to Applebee's.
So it's like, so he essentially is like, okay, Monday through Friday, maybe it's Monday through Thursday, he's at home making his meals. He goes out to dinner on Friday. So that means Saturday all day, he has to stay home or make sure he eats before he leaves. And then if he goes out on Saturday during the day, he's like, I got to go home and eat.
Yeah. Because he can't. This is a problem because it's either, because here's the thing, only eat out once a week is either a very fit guy, which is a tough person to date, or it's a very cheap guy because they're like, ooh, you ever meet that person that's like, I can't go out tonight, I bought groceries for the week. And you're like, yeah, groceries are made to go bad in your fridge. That's why you buy them. And
it's just like, for aesthetics.
Yeah.
Groceries are for aesthetics.
All right, let's go to Brandon.
All right.
Brandon is a 23-year-old bartender from Carlsbad, California. Brandon, I like Brandon's look. I'm into it.
I do too.
What do you think?
He's giving me commitment, but the terrified of slugs.
Yeah, his fun facts say terrified of slugs, loves to go to the batting cages, loves Disneyland, and goes every year on his birthday.
No, he's a Disney adult.
To me, when you're 23, here's the thing about, listen, 23 on the show, I immediately, like, you're out. Like, it doesn't matter who you are.
Oh,
if
God,
you're a 23-year-old man on the show, I say there's no way. Then if you're a 23-year-old man who also says I go to Disney every year on your birthday, you're not allowed to say I do something every year at 23. You do something because you every year means your parents made that decision many of those years. So when you say, it's like, you ever meet someone that's young and they talk like they're old? It's immediately annoying. You're like, yeah, I do it every year. And you're like, oh, since you were 19 a year ago, you know, like, this isn't a tradition.
My whole traditions life. Aren't, my whole life.
My whole life. Exactly. You're only allowed to say every year when you're 30 and you've made the conscious decision to do something every year for at least 5 years.
As an adult.
Right.
Yeah, the 23, I honestly, that hit me at a late stage of us talking about him, and that is that's alarming. 23 is 23 is really young, especially
very young.
Guys on the show, very young.
Let's go to Chris, who's 30, and he's a mentality coach from Redondo Beach, California.
No. See, I don't need the over positivity right now. Like, that is an immediate no.
See, Kay, you're coming to us from Los Angeles. You are at the epicenter of bullshit jobs. Mentality coach, that's got to hit you. Does it feel familiar for the area you're in?
Yes,
you know, here,
like mentality
you could say,
coach or life coach or like wellness something or, motivational speaker. Like, all of those sort of fall into the same kind of category. Like, he's giving me, like, I probably write I'm a CEO or a founder in my Hinge bio.
Yes. I mean, I just did a TED Talk, okay? And the TED Talk, actually, if I'm going to plug myself, I did a TED Talk. It comes out this week. And when you do TED Talk, I didn't know the TED Talk universe, so to speak. But there's basically, like, different phylums of TED Talkers. There's like the physicist. There's the person that's a higher education person that has, you know, their thesis they're putting out there. There's that person. Then there's the addict, the former addict, the person that got themselves back on their feet and they're going to tell you about their journey. Then there are the coaches. And the coaches, when you meet them, they're all of the same ilk, where they're like, they stare through you. They look like they never blink. And they're just like glassy-eyed and just like look like they have been possessed by someone that's too positive. And it's like, the minute I hear mentality coach, I'm like, I can't be around that energy. I need to blink.
That's interesting, because I also didn't know anything about the TED Talk stuff. I want to know what your TED Talk's about.
It's called Who Should Pay for the First Date? And Love. It is coming out this week. So you might be, if you're listening now, this week it's coming out. It's going to be out. So yeah, go check it out. It's 18 minutes and it's all based on who should pay for the first date. I'm excited and nervous to see what happens from it.
No, this will be great. I'm excited to hear it. And then we can talk about the who should pay on the first date, who should plan the dates for like it. The Bachelor or something.
For the we'll Bachelor, incorporate but I, it. Well, that's the other thing is like, I mean, I guess saying I have a TED Talk is very similar to mentality coach. You know,
well, you can listen to my TED Talk.
Yeah, you can get the rest on TEDx's website. All right, let's go to Colin. Now, Colin is the right age, 36, sales director from Chicago. What are your first impressions of Colin? That was the sound of an immediate no from Kay.
I just, any guy with his hair slicked back that's like overgrown, like his hair doesn't look long enough to be long. It just looks like he needs a haircut really bad. And I just hate the slicked back look, because in my head, I'm like, they think, you know what? I look like a professional, or
I am money. Yeah.
Something like, I hate the slicked back look, and his hair just looks overgrown and like gross and just like unkept. I'm an asshole.
Yeah, he's 36 and from Chicago. No, I'm with you. It's this like new age businessman. He's got the quarter zip sweater on. May as well be an engagement ring. It just looks like he still hangs out in Old Town and hits on younger women at the bars out there, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, he just looks the most Chicago you could. Like, he looks the most, I'm still the last single guy out of my friends in Chicago that someone has ever looked.
Yeah. There's so many just like things happening. Okay. Well, here we go. Colin was the founding member of his high school's breakdancing club.
You know, I look like I sell life insurance, but little do you know, I can breakdance. Like, that is an opening line he has taught. He is the self-aware bro. There's no question. Self-aware bro is like, I know I got the quarter zip on. I work in sales and, you know, I just love going to a Cubs game. But let me tell you, I was the head of the high school breakdancing team. Like, he's going to let you know that.
I mean, that sends like actual chills up through my body, like thinking, because now I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna be on TikTok and he's gonna start doing some weird breakdancing stuff. On my life, if I see that,
he's also the age where at 36, and I had this realization with, I saw someone, there was a TikTok of like a high school principal like dancing to like doing the gritty. Or whatever that is, remember the, or
oh
the,
God,
whatever that dance was for a hot minute.
I don't know.
And you go, whatever it was. And I'm like, oh my God, he's my age. I'm, oh my God, look at the old teacher dancing age.
Yes.
Like it's a sad realization.
It's us.
Let's go to
that's
Eric.
That's us.
Spelled with a CH. That is the spelling of a name that you go,
chaos.
I'm out. Yeah. Eric looks like he will tell you how
plays,
you know,
like
where...
Smasher. Wait, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, please.
He immediately gives me like he's playing like Smasher Pass at the bar with his friends, like out loud.
Yeah.
And, like as the girls walk by, he's like Smasher Pass. You know what I mean? Like,
he's got that vibe to him. He all. In addition to looking like he's going to tell you the great club you should go to in Tulum, like he knows where to get tables. He knows where you should go. He went to Tulum. He loves that outdoor gym in Tulum. He's like obsessed with it. He can't stop talking.
He overpaid for the outdoor gym in Tulum for sure.
This guy overpays for everything and he talks about it all the time. He has new age, you know, bro face all over him.
Mm-hmm. With the beard. He's a beard guy, though.
He's a beard guy, and that, you know, for some, it is over. They see a beard, they're in. So, and he's a real estate analyst from Bedminster, New Jersey. 29, that's a good age. I mean, Eric
has no... He's attracted
to
taller women.
And he has no interest in going to an escape room, which I'm a fan of. Like, I think no interest in an escape room is better than high interest in an escape room.
Honestly, yeah, if you have to pick between the two, I'd rather him to never want to go to one instead of being like, I go to them everywhere I go.
Exactly. If that's someone's opening line, I'm like, okay, no interest in escape room. Keep going. Let's hear what else you have to say. I'm okay with it. Let's go to Ethan. Ethan.
All righty.
Is 27 years old, advertising executive, good looking dude, hopeless. He's one of our hopeless romantics who wears his heart on his sleeve. This is something, this is kind of like a phylum of dude that comes on the show every season.
Yeah, the open that opening line for me is somewhat of a red flag because I know they're going to be too soft for the show. Because we need them to be a little edgier.
We need edge. You know, you can have only one soft king make it late into the show. And here's my problem with Ethan. He's definitely boring.
Oh, yeah.
There's one line in his profile that tells me he's boring. Ethan says he is the king of Monopoly. Okay. Anyone who plays Monopoly till the end is a boring person. Monopoly is meant to be played for 15 minutes, and then you realize that game fucking sucks and takes forever, and no one's ever going to go bankrupt, and let's do something else. Let's play,
I honestly don't even think I don't remember the last time I played Monopoly, and like the thought of actually wanting to play has never been
king
in my body.
Of Monopoly. No, that's a boring, that's a bad party. Because now they're asking for Monopoly. Hey, let's play. They have the different versions. They're like, oh, I got Vegas version. No, we don't want to play. I don't want to count money. I don't want to do math.
No, we have to read the rest of these other two fun facts as well. Ethan's perfect breakfast is pancakes and his hash browns extra crispy.
Yeah, these are boring facts. And watching Entourage cheers Ethan up when he's down. Like...
Johnny Drama is just like,
you know what I'm like, I'd rather you not want an escape room than want an escape room. I'd rather you not want to watch Entourage when you're down than watch Entourage when you're down. Hey, want to throw on season 6? Want to watch the season where he stars in Aquaman?
Yeah, there's specific people, you know, there's like the Office people, there's Friends people, which I'm sorry, but I feel like those are the worst. And then there's the Entourage guys. And that is such a specific dude.
Such a specific
dude. I know everything I need to know.
Let's go to Hayden, 29. Hayden looks
I'm gonna
like
get so much hate for this, for the Friends comment.
The Friends comment is fine. No, there's Friends people and not Friends people. People are aware by this point, I think. But look, Hayden looks like he tours with a live action version of a Grey's Anatomy play. Like he looks like he's, like a fake McDreamy. doesn't
he's
he look
cute,
like he sings? Sings with a off-Broadway version of Grey's Anatomy.
He's giving me Connor Brennan, Connor B energy. Like immediate, like it's popping out of the screen. Like he's gonna be the one that shows up in like the weird costume or like the super gaggy entrance.
I mean, his job also, even starts bad. Yeah. He says he's a 29-year-old leisure executive. From Tampa, Florida.
What?
That's someone who works at a mattress store. That's how you dress up I work at a mattress. When you say you're a leisure executive, it's like, no, you work at Sleepy's. You work at the mattress firm. You do not, you're not a leisure executive.
My favorite part about his fun facts, it says Hayden loves country music and would thrive at Stagecoach. So he loves country music, but he's never been. But he's like, you know what? One day I'll get to go.
One day I'm going to thrive. I can tell that atmosphere is for me.
I'm going to get that, you know, brand sponsorship and I'm going to go to Stagecoach.
One day, everything's going to work out. If that's what you're saying at 29, you're not ready to get married. You're not ready to be like, one day I'm going to thrive as a father. Oh, that's nice. You're ready to get married. One day I'm going to thrive at a festival where I have to stand for 24 straight hours. Nope. You're not going to thrive there.
No.
It ain't going to happen.
It's too late.
Let's go to Jacob, who I think has a tight ponytail.
A ponytail. Yeah. There's some sort of ponytail or bun happening behind there.
Jacob looks like he'd be the bad guy in a straight to DVD version of a movie we liked initially. So he'd be like, he'd be like the bad guy in like Three Ninjas 5, Revenge of the Ninjas. Remember Three Ninjas? Like the Three Ninjas are now out of college and they're still,
it's him. Where are they now?
Yeah, where are they now? And he's the bad guy. He's the, you know, he just looks like straight to DVD bad guy from a movie we have nostalgia for. Like,
I mean, but apparently in his fun facts, he reads 30 to 40 books a year, which isn't giving me bad guy.
No, that's giving me, don't want 30 to 40 books.
That's a lot.
That's more than my whole life ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to school for musical theater and I don't think I read a single play in school. Like, I don't think I finished one.
It's a douchey fact because if you say to people, I read 30 to 40 books a year, then you have to read those books. And also, like, it's a judgment in a statement. When you say that to people, like, I'm just like, okay, cool. I can, any of them on them? Is there a movie version of it? It's like, you don't have to say that to people.
Yeah. It's one of those like brags that will automatically make someone else feel bad if they're not also one, because they're wanting a response from you to be like, oh yeah, same. Or like,
right,
I'm a big reader too. And if you don't say that, they're like, you know, well, what? It's fine. Like, reading's not for everyone.
It's the number. You can say I'm a big reader. Oh, I love to read books is different than 30 to 40 a year. All of his fun facts make him sound like someone that I'm like, okay, you stand at that side of the room, I'll stand at this other room. Here are his fun facts. Jacob reads 30 to 40 books a year. Jacob loves to camp in national parks. Jacob doesn't eat cake. Okay, Jacob, you and I are not going to get along on anything. Those three fun facts mean you stand at that side of the room, I'm going to be on the eating cake, love the Four Seasons Hotel, and watches stupid TV and never reads a book side of the room.
Like, everything is like low key pretentious. Again, like, doesn't eat cake, big fitness guy. And then, like, not only does he just love camping, which is fine, but it has to be in national parks.
He has
like, it's made Yellowstone or nothing, bitch.
Yeah. Have fun sleeping on a rock. I'm going to be at the Ritz having a nice shower. If a tight ponytail on a man was a personality, this would be it.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's go to James, who looks like he's going to sell us a car in Jersey.
Well, here's a funny story about James.
So we have the tea on James before. James, a 25-year-old meatball enthusiast, so I wasn't wrong about the Jersey thing, from Winnetka, Illinois. So what do you know about James?
What I know about James is that I want to say it was like 2 weeks ago. He currently lives in Los Angeles, California.
Okay. He's not that Midwestern guy that we all know and love. No.
Yeah. But 2 weeks ago, I'm at it at like literally my, it was during the fucking NBA games. I think it was like game four.
Okay.
I'm at
of the finals.
The bar, the sports bar down the street, watching the game with some of my girlfriends, the usual like roundup of chicks.
The K crew.
Yeah. And so we're sitting at our table. The game just ended. And James, who I had never seen before, I wasn't really looking at the guys or anything. I did not know who this was, walks up to our table.
You saw those thick eyebrows coming right at you.
Yeah. And immediately hits on my friend McKenna. But in a way, okay, when guys, if you're going to come up to a girl's table, like a table of women, you need to like low-key acknowledge the entire table and not just like sneak in on the side and hopefully just like just talk to her. Like you need to make your presence known. And I know it's like kind of intimidating to come up to a table of women, but like you should be intimidated. Have a plan. Have a plan if you're going to approach our table because we're having fun without you already.
Kay, he made a huge, that is a, he's 25. It is a youthful mistake. You got to go,
youthful
you
got to
impress the whole group, and then you got to zone in on the person that you're going for, but the group will allow one to stray away. If you don't impress the group, there, even if you impress the one you've been impressed, the other group is going to go, come on, we're going home. You have to go. They're going to look out for your safety, and I'm not trying to give the wolf the sheep's cloth to wear, but I'm saying, it's a huge blunder to not go up to everyone and go and sing, dance, and dust and be like, hey, I'm the guy. You know, I'm here to court your friend. Yeah, you got to start with the group. I totally agree.
And also, if we like you, then we're probably like if we are going somewhere else, we're like, yeah, you should come. Like, he's cool or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you have friends, bring them. But if you're like sneaking up on the side, anyways, goes to talk to McKenna. I obviously, as the asshole I am, call him out and be like, hi.
Yeah, we're all here.
We're all here.
We'd all like and, shots.
hello. And he asked for her number and she was like, no, but you can have like my Instagram. She was like, I don't like to give my number out just random, but like you can whatever. So he DMs her.
Literally, I'm turning into the Flintstones. I'm like, woo, 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 woo. My legs start spinning. I'm out of the bar. If they're like, no number, here's your Instagram. I'm like, I'm out.
So we're leaving. So we end up leaving the bar and I don't know why, but we like walked into like, there were like two stores down. We were like, should we get our ears pierced? You know, chaotic things on like a Friday night.
James is like, want to get another drink? You're like, no, we're going to like, we're going to put needles through our face. We decided needles through our body was a better option than hanging out with you for longer.
And he walks by, sees us in there, like at the desk, like talking to the person. He goes, are you guys getting a tattoo? And we're like, no, like we're getting our nipples pierced. What? Like, we're just here to, like, what are you doing? And then he was like, I better see you guys out later. And he like DMs us. He DM'd McKenna later. And the next day, we didn't think anything of it. The next day, we are, I guess like, she was served something like maybe like a bachelor thing or whatever. And it was his face. And she goes, oh my God, guys, this guy's on the new season of The Bachelorette. Never.
That's interesting.
Never mentioned it.
You would think douche that goes up to one woman in a big group of women, their number one line would be, hey, I'm going to be on The Bachelor. But I guess, you know, sometimes the, you know, the animals, you know, I sometimes the animals adapt. You know, and he probably, this guy knows saying I'm on The Bachelorette is a bad look in LA. It's just not going to help
bad
him out.
Move.
So he knew that much, but he didn't know enough to go impress a whole group of women to go to hopefully hook up with one of their friends.
Well, what's interesting about that is because in my head, the reason why he didn't say anything is because A, maybe he's on, or like, he doesn't want to give the fact that he's on a TV show away because then it's like, oh, well, I guess you're not like it's a quote unquote spoiler because clearly he doesn't make it far. Or if he does and maybe he is with them, he's been totally outed at this point because they're supposed to be together.
Sure.
And so I'm like in my head, I'm like, wow, imagine going up to the one table and it being a girl who has a podcast about The Bachelor.
Well, didn't he look you up? Like, I mean, I would assume.
No.
Did he follow you on Instagram, too?
No, didn't follow me. Like, I had no idea who this guy was. I'd never seen him before.
Zoning in on McKenna.
And he zoned in on McKenna. And like, we were all sitting at the table. And when we found that, I literally thought to myself, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to talk about the podcast. I'm totally going to blow up this guy's spot.
Well, yeah. So James doesn't win, people. And that is the least spoiler of all the spoilers because, you know, I don't think anyone who refers to themselves as a meatball enthusiast at 25 is just ready to settle down. It doesn't seem like it.
I mean, it says like at the bottom, nothing makes James happier than a plate of piping hot meatball.
Well, enjoy your hot balls, James, because McKenna ain't calling.
No.
Let's do one more because we've gone. We'll do one more, and then this is part one. Next week we'll get through the rest of the contestants, and then we'll do some awards and some preview items. And I'm sure that we'll be trickling out as the week comes out. But people, listen, we're so excited to be back. We're refreshed. We're re-energized. Subscribe to the Bachelor Podcast if you're not already, and make sure you send out to your friends, whoever the group chat is that you watch the show with. Let them know that, we're doing the best recaps. We're doing the best, talk about the show. We're really getting into this season. So let's go to Jason.
All right. Jason, 30, investment banker, Santa Monica. Okay, so in the neighborhood. That's where I live there. So I'll be on the lookout for Jason as well.
Right. Jason's a catch. Jason is a relationship kind of guy. Loves and is ready to, he loves love, ready to find a woman. He hates Coca-Cola. That's kind of weird. And loves to tour historical homes. So this guy would be great for any woman who uses Zillow, which is every woman. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually getting very good energy from Jason. I like the fact that at the end of his bio, he says something like he values authenticity and says that when he finds the one, the vibes will tell him he needs to know. Gabby and Rachel, you hear that? I think that's really cute that he kind of like called them out at the end of, like, there's personality in his bio and it feels like he actually wrote it and not some like random producer. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you. And here's the thing about anyone that comes on the show. You want someone who went on the show, knows about the show, admits knowing about the show, but also got nudged into it. Nobody has so far more my sister-in-law made me do this face more than Jason. Right? He's an investment banker, which means he's making money. He's 30 years old. He lives in outside of LA, Santa Monica, so he's not like in the LA scene. LA people.
Oh no. This is absolutely Santa Monica, like peak surfer, like you're living
surfer,
in
but it's not
he
like
probably surfs
he's not living in Hollywood. He's not doing auditions.
Oh yeah, like, he's not living in like West Hollywood or anything now.
Yeah, so I think Kay, you were at the Live You Up podcast. There was something was very apparent in LA. Women are looking for men with jobs and health insurance in LA. That is a big plus. And we Jason has I have health insurance vibes to him for sure.
Yeah, like your credit score is going to go up immediately upon dating him.
Yeah, like his shirt is ugly. Like he needs a girlfriend to like help him get dressed. This is and he's talking about liking homes. So so we think Jason could have a future on the show if he speaks up, because he could be that guy that is here cuz the sister-in-law but doesn't know how to like play the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Jason. I do. I think out of all the guys, I think Jason gives the best like he could have the best track record here. Like he could go pretty far.
So far we like Jason, we like Avon, we liked
love Avon.
And that's it. But
saying it out loud.
Now that listen, this is the first part. Well, I'm sure we're going to like a few more from the next part. And only one person can win, but we're going to go through all the rest of the contestants next
week.
Two people are going to win. That's right.
Because there's two bachelorettes. I know.
Well, we have two so far, two good candidates out of the 11 that we spoke about. But we got about 19 more to go talk about next week. We did some... Yeah. you know, news at the top. So we're going to get to the rest of the contestants next week. And that's what we got, right, Kay?
Yeah, that's about it. So make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Bachelor, on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. You can also follow me on Instagram at Kay York City.
And I'm at Jared Freed. And we will be back next week and all season long. Well, you know, happy new season, Kay. Happy Bachelorette season.
Yes. Happy to be back. And we will see you all next week. Bye.
The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Chris Burns. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and at Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com. Betches.